Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Well, Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist with us. A couple other things that may fall into play. I like these type of shows. They're just kind of fluid and flying by the seat of our pants. The weekend, which is what we do every day. Our website is sports360az.com, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. The weekend was, it's the weekend where you don't have a football, so people are trying to go through the detox of it. And so they put on things like the Senior Bowl. I actually was a little bit interested in because it involves the draft. I know many of you are already starting to look ahead to that. The Pro Bowl I didn't watch. Yesterday morning, I got up and was just doing some stuff in my office and flipped around, and there was a dodgeball game that was on at about 10 after 7. And when they said Patrick Peterson is on one side, I turned and looked up, and sure enough, there was the Cardinals star cornerback. And he was playing dodgeball in an NFC jersey with Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott, and they were trying to get T.Y. Hilton out. And I recognized the voice of Sean McDonough, and he sounded like somebody had stuck a knife through his nose. And then there was John Gruden, who sounded like somebody stuck a knife through his ear and all the way through to the other side. Like, really, this is what my career has become, almost. And it was like I couldn't find the remote quick enough to get away from it. It wasn't like, boy, I got to watch this. This is really hilarious. No, this is what's called just filling time when you are wanting to impress that you're the National Football League before your big game. So we've got a week of this stuff. Somebody this morning here at the Skyview Studios, he walked by and he said, did you see the Pro Bowl? No. Did you? No. I was flipping around and at halftime they had a flag football game on that I watched for a few seconds and that was it. I mean, I know that you guys want to be entertained and have fun. I'd rather watch the Puppy Bowl than that stuff. That's just me. So, and we're going to get a lot of it this week. The most interesting thing to me, I used to go to Super Bowls all the time, and then just found out it's a complete waste of time. If I'm going to have said star player from yesteryear on who's being pitched to me, as long as I mention that he is growing AstroTurf in his backyard, and that I make sure that I mention the product and where you can get it in the website at least three times in the 7-minute interview. Or he is here to talk on behalf of Dockers. So he's going to say Dockers, this particular player, three or four times. Or on this behalf of Charcoal Briquettes. Yeah, we're all barbecuing this week. No, you're a Hall of Famer. I want to talk to you about that. I don't want to talk to you about what product you're pitching.
What goes better during Super Bowl week than homemade clam chowder? I mean,
avocados. Joe Montana one year was pitching avocados. You know, I mean, it's embarrassing. And yet the other side of it is, he's getting a check out of it. Yeah,
but for
the audience, it's Joe Montana pitching avocados. What fascinating radio or TV that's going to be. No, that's not happening. So this becomes one of my least favorite weeks on the air every year. Thank God we have the Open, and thank God we have National Letter of Intent Day. So I'm going to get some college football in here. I can get some local stuff on the golf front. And the golf story this year is really fascinating with what happened yesterday at Torrey Pines. So I'm going to move over to that. We'll do some Super Bowl stuff. I'm just really not interested in the crapola that goes along with it. The game is fine, and we've done a lot on the game, had plenty of guests on the game. We'll have a few more this week, but in the TV show, obviously, we'll touch on the Super Bowl, but I'm just not into that stuff. Could care less about last night in the Pro Bowl. Federer-Nadal was what the weekend was about. That's sports. That is sports. For those two to get after it the way they got after it, it was terrific. And I watched that, a 5-set throw. I got up early to watch it, very, very early to watch it. And so that was cool. And for Federer, at 35 years of age, to get out there and do what he showed, you know, that's what you want. So that was cool. There was one NFL story over the weekend that I was pleased to see, and that is John Lynch being named general manager of the 49ers. Now, if you're an Arizona Cardinal fan or if you're on the payroll for the Cardinals, you're going to laugh and you're going to scoff and you're going to say, oh, man, they just really don't know what they're doing. John Lynch, somebody that I knew when he was in high school, on to Stanford, and here in his life, and he's been successful everywhere he's gone. I actually like the fact that he looked at broadcasting and said, you know, I think I can do more with my life than just this. And so the 49ers named him the general manager. And they're going to bring Kyle Shanahan to be the head coach. And they don't have a quarterback to save their lives. And the 49ers have been a train wreck for quite some time. But I think anytime you question somebody that is as good a businessman and acumen, and my understanding is that John Elway had been trying to hire John to work alongside him in Denver. Those two are really close. And John just kept pushing him back and pushing him back. And so he ends up with the 49ers. That to me is a really interesting story because, yeah, it involves the NFC West. And the 49ers have bottomed out. They've gone a bunch of different directions and thrown a lot of money at trying to solve problems, which was once a proud franchise, and now it's just a train wreck. And they're not going to get it turned around overnight, but I think you bring in Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan, to me, has been the reason why Matt Ryan has matured. Yeah, it helps to throw the ball to Julio Jones. I got it. You have to have great personnel. But a year ago, there were Cardinal fans saying, well, Matt Ryan could be the guy because he's really not played that well in Atlanta, and Matty Ice could be the guy. Well, Matt Ryan's not going anywhere now. Let's be honest about that. You know, you take a guy that just because he hasn't worked his way up through the ranks doesn't mean you can't plug him in and have him play. Last night I put on Twitter, happy for John Lynch, known his family a long time, and immediately I got the run over of Matt Millen. And yeah, they're all, you know, you just click on their profiles and fan of Arizona Cardinals, fan of, I got it. You're not going to give anybody a chance. You got your own message. So I think it's a terrific hire by the 49ers. I'm saying that, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, bring the tape back. It may not work out. I think it's a terrific move to put John Lynch in that space. I'm going to talk about U of A in a couple minutes on the basketball front because Gonzaga beat U of A, didn't they? So why would U of A be ranked ahead of them and why would U of A be a one seed? I'll get into that a little bit later in the show and some college basketball too. The golf tournament is this week in the Valley. And so through the years, even when Tiger Woods hasn't come here, this tournament is Tiger-proofed. It is. And when Tiger was here and he didn't make the cut and we followed him around, my wife and I followed him around and it was great to have him here. I don't need to have Tiger Woods. Really don't look at who's in the event on the surface. I just know that it's here when I get out there. Did Jordan Spieth make it in? Did Ricky Fowler make it in? Okay, they didn't make it in. There's plenty of other really good stories. And oh, by the way, it's going to be 76 degrees on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. So just going out there and watching the 22-year-old in her skirt that she barely fits in, and she's the same age as my daughter, and she's wearing 6-inch heels, and she's on her cell phone, and she falls over, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be epic to people watch this week out at the Open.
This may sound really corny.
Yeah.
But I went out yesterday, Brad, to pick up our credentials. That's still a work in progress, but
we'll
get there.
We'll get
no
there.
No problem.
Yeah, sure.
There's just, even on a Sunday afternoon before the tournament, when you walk down by where the media entrance is, you just get excited.
It's where the caddies hang out. That's
even,
all the bags
yeah, exactly.
are there.
There's,
the bags
there's
are there.
No one on the course.
Yep.
They're setting up tables
and
chairs.
And you're not a golfer.
Not a golfer, but when you just step on the premise this week, it's just electric. And you said the weather is going to be ideal. They're going to have huge crowds again.
Yeah. No, it's fine. There's not going to be frost delays. And, you know, Phil's going to be here. There's some news around Phil.
And the 15% of the people that like to go out there and actually watch the golf, they'll enjoy themselves.
Sure.
Too, so.
And I'm not being critical of those that don't like to go out because I get, you know, I've been in the boxes at 16. I see the business that's going on out there. It's very good for commerce. Golf tournament's very good for commerce, right? And when Phil walks into 16 and everybody's hooting and hollering and yelling and all that stuff, it's fine. The insults are part of the fun. When you make a bad shot there and you boo Phil Mickelson, I think it's pretty funny. I think it's something that we just haven't had in other sports. If you go to a Suns game, Devin Booker misses a free throw. Do you boo Devin Booker? No. Phil Mickelson makes a bad golf shot, and he's a lot bigger scale than Devin Booker, but Booker's the star player of that team, even though the Bledsoe people are out in force. You boo Phil Mickelson, and he expects it. He expects to be booed. I think it's great. I think it's awesome.
Which is insane, thinking that more often than not, that bad shot at the Phoenix Open is probably going to be more important than that second quarter missed free throw.
Oh, there's no question. There's no question.
By Devin Booker.
When Phil or any of those golfers walks in, any of those guys that are competitors walk into 16 on Sunday afternoon, then they're up a stroke or they're down a stroke. And they got 20,000 people, and they're three holes away. They've got 16, 17, and 18. Away from either winning or losing. And somebody is going to yell at them and jeer them if they hit a bad shot with everything on the line. You've got to be one tough customer to handle that. And some guys don't like coming here. And I add to that, Dubai is this week, and the paycheck at Dubai is just unbelievable. So I get it where guys are going to go chase the dough. There's another story around Phil, too, today. And then I'll get into his brother, Tim, because Tim Mickelson's in the news today, too. Phil is, from my understanding, I was at the ASU game yesterday, and the big buzz is Phil is looking to acquire Ocotillo Golf Resort and Golf Club out in Chandler with Valley businessman Spike Lawrence. So I'm told this at halftime by a couple people who would know and who I respect a great deal. And they said, yeah, it's happening. Phil's going to buy Ocotillo with Spike. And I'm thinking buying a golf course in this day and age is not really the best investment. It's right here in our own backyard. Ocotillo has been around forever. But man, that land out there in South Chandler, you talk about if they decide we'll just turn this into a nine hole and bulldoze it over and we'll put houses on. That's a great investment. It's pretty smart. So I'll be interested if I see Phil. Phil's deal is usually Wednesday morning, maybe while I'm on the air, but if I'm out there, it'll be, hey, are you buying Ocotillo? I've been told you're buying Ocotillo from people close to Spike Lawrence. Very close to Spike Lawrence, in fact. And that's a game changer. Tim Mickelson, and I'll get to the break here in a second, but Tim Mickelson was the golf coach at ASU, Phil's brother, and he quit. And he's the golf coach now for John Rahm. John Rahm is the former Sun Devil who yesterday at the Farmers Insurance Open in San Diego stepped up and made a putt that, you know, you look at on the surface and you'd say, there's just no way. Do we have that? There's just no way that he made it. Here it is. So this is for John Rahm yesterday. And you're thinking down the hill, this has got a really deep slope, real deep slope. And here's John Rahm just out of ASU. And I think it's going to roll in there. Boom. How great is that? And Tim Mickelson's his coach. So now you have that storyline coming into the Open of Phil and John Rahm and Tim. So there's plenty of good stuff going around on around the Open, and we'll be out there and very excited for that. All right, on the other side, U of A wants to be a number one seed. U of A fans think they deserve to be a number one seed. It's the end of January. I have my feelings on that, which will not make them happy, and that is on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Well, Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist, coming up in about 7-8 minutes. Obviously, with everything going on in the country with Trump over the weekend and immigration and deportation and all the buzz that is going on, I'm going to talk to Paula about that as it relates to sports. Eric is working on a piece on a, I don't want to say where the kid's located or even give his name out, but he's working on a piece on a player that's from Sudan and fled Sudan. And I thought of that piece because it's pretty intense. When this piece comes out, you're going to be like, wow, okay.
Yeah, you've met the kid. You know his backstory.
Did you think, I mean, this isn't fair to the audience. I get that I'm not going through the name and all that. But just, did you think of that when everything was going on over the weekend?
I did.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's, so in sports, you just don't look at this as it's people in walks of life. You know, Thon Maker's in the middle of that now. And Thon is, Bucks are supposed to be here on Saturday. Thon Maker is in the middle of that piece now with it, what's going on. So it's not just some small little deal that doesn't impact sports.
Because in many ways, Brad, and we've seen it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Sports and life frequently overlap.
Yeah, they intersect.
Sports and politics frequently overlap.
People don't like us talking about
fill
it,
in the blank and sports
right.
Frequently overlap.
Right. That's It was good last week after the inauguration to have the AFC and NFC championship games. It was just kind of like, okay, this is a nice distraction. There was no distraction this weekend. Although U of A played over the weekend yesterday. They beat Washington. I watched it back on DVR. I went to the ASU game yesterday with my son. And so I'm watching U of A play. And of course, after U of A beat UCLA at UCLA, I got the usual, we're number one, we're the best team in the country, we're going to win a national championship, and you know that's the greatest win ever and all that stuff. And I was just like, no, it's a win in January. It doesn't mean anything more or anything less. It's a process. You go out and lose some games or you don't play well in some games. And U of A did not play well yesterday in the first half. Second half, they played well. But anybody who watched that game yesterday and said, oh, well, you're just being too harsh and you're just not a fan. No, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of any team. First of all,
I love it when you just take the air out of the balloon. It's just so great. It's just like, hey, look, we had this huge win. No, really, no. It wasn't.
It was January.
It was fine. It was a good win. Yeah. It's a good resume building win.
Build your RPI.
But in the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't mean much. Because in the grand scheme of things, Brad, all it takes is one bad half once you get to the tournament. You could be a 1 seed, a 5 seed, a 16 seed, a 12 seed. If one bad half and you're out. So.
And it's all not Sean Miller's fault. I think Sean's doing a hell of a job coaching.
Oh, yeah. And they do have a very, very talented team.
Oh, my gosh.
Very talented team.
Sean has put together a very talented team. But anybody who's going to tell me that, well, they deserve to be a number one seed over Gonzaga, because that's coming out today. No, they don't. Excuse me, but who beat who? Oh, well, we didn't have Trier. Doesn't matter. It's not Gonzaga's fault. It's not. You know, don't make excuses. You didn't have Trier because Trier was suspended for PEDs by his own admission. You have a player that's a lottery pick without question in Markkanen. I would take him on my team in a heartbeat. But you're going to go through some growing pains. And I thought in the first half of Sunday's game against Washington, you went through some growing pains. That's to be expected. I'm not sitting here saying they're not going to win a championship at the end of March, but fandom just kind of blinds you to the reality of the situation. Gonzaga beat you. They're better than you. Oh, they're not better than us now. Well, you're not playing them now. So Gonzaga hasn't lost a game. Oh, they're in a bad conference. Have you looked at who they've played outside of beating you? They beat some pretty good teams. And yeah, their conference is not as deep, but there's bottom feeders in this conference too. Washington State's a bottom feeder. ASU's a bottom feeder right now. Oregon State's a bottom feeder. Stanford's not very good either, in my opinion. USC, I wouldn't look top to bottom and say, oh my gosh, this conference is just loaded. When U of A plays Oregon on the road this Saturday afternoon, I will watch. I don't know if I'll watch live. That's what the DVR is for. But I will watch. That game is really interesting to me. Arizona should just crush Oregon State. There's no reason for that to even be a game. So again, this goes back to when Gonzaga is playing Pepperdine, and Pepperdine's not very good. I think the next good team that they play is St. Mary's. St. Mary's is ranked in the top 25. But Gonzaga, I watched the Kansas-Kentucky game, and it was a terrific game. I watched it live. I was so into that. And you just talk about fluidity and the game being played the right way, and Kentucky could not figure out how to break down a zone to save their lives. And they couldn't shoot free throws to save their lives. They deserve to lose the game. Kansas is better right now. But even Kansas down the stretch didn't play like a smart team. Almost gave the game away to Kentucky. That game was over with a minute to go. Jay Billis was screwing around on the air, and before you know it, this is now a one-possession game because they couldn't finish the deal, to Eric's point. When you get into March Madness and you start to crap the bed for a minute or two, and that's it. You're done. You're finished.
Because that's what makes March Madness so great is we sit here and we scour over these brackets and we think we have it all figured out. And then it's the first Friday of the tournament, and oh, whoops, I just lost the Final Four team.
I lost like 5 teams.
It just happens.
But here's the thing on it. This has been so compelling of a college basketball season.
Absolutely.
This has been so much more interesting than the NFL. Like miles and miles more interesting than the NFL. If you haven't sampled it, it's on you. You know, if it sounds like I'm going after you guys today, it's just, I am a little bit, because I watched some of Villanova, Virginia, and it was a 2-point game. You know, Nova, the top-ranked team, gets it done. There are some players, like, if you don't watch Markkanen and you don't watch Lonzo Ball, I don't know if you don't like sports. If you're even slightly a basketball fan and you haven't seen those two play because you've been watching sloppy football, are you kidding me?
I understand how very, very talented Alonzo Trier is, but I still think Markkanen is the biggest key to that team's quest to get to a Final Four, because he is just...
He didn't have a great game yesterday.
He did not have a great game. What we saw down in Tucson against ASU, Brad.
Yeah, what was ASU with no big man?
Well, but again, I mean, he's out on the perimeter. He's 7 feet one. He can handle the ball. He can shoot the three.
Yeah, three
he can take it
threes.
Inside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's not skinny. He's 235 pounds. Like, who's going to match up with that guy?
So when they play up in Vegas, because when U of A has UCLA here, I might go. I mean, we should probably go. But we're going to see them again in all likelihood in Vegas. So that's why, you know, what happened earlier this month is fine. Regular season game. Let's just move on. There was an interesting story involving ASU over the weekend, and that is they get an offensive coordinator who was a wide receivers coach over at Alabama. So anytime you get over on Alabama, and when you look at ASU, so they take Blake Barnett, the quarterback, they get him to come here. He had left Alabama. They, the Brandon Ruiz commitment, Brandon Ruiz was going to leave, was never going to go to Alabama. I wrote that in October. The worst kept secret was that he was going to leave Alabama and that he was going to go to Alabama. No, he's not. He was visiting ASU. He was going to go to ASU all the way along. So anybody who tries to convince me otherwise, no, I'm not buying that. Getting the offensive coordinator out of Alabama, who was a wide receivers coach, Billy Napier. They haven't announced it formally yet, but it broke over the weekend. He's 37 years of age. He's going to run the offense. He was the quarterback coach at Colorado State. He was the offensive coordinator at Clemson. He's a riser in the industry trying to make his mark. The fact that he's already been an O coordinator for a brief period of time at Clemson and then had to go to be a quarterback coach makes you scratch your head a little bit. He also has to have talent to work with, and I think he does here. N'Keal Harry, very talented wide receiver. Running back, you've got Kalen Ballage, who put a toe in the water to see about the NFL draft. He's got a whole bunch of quarterbacks that are going to be here this year that he's going to have a choice to work with. Facts are, you can't really get all that into coaches nowadays or coordinators because you don't know if they're going to be here 1 year for the next. It feels like every weekend I'm talking about another coach leaving Todd Graham's staff. It does. And when I bring this up, people are like, well, it's just normal. It's just part of the process. And I don't think it's normal when it's like mass exodus of every coach and they say, well, they all went to better jobs. Arizona State should be the best job, right? If I'm to understand what's been going on at ASU and with Michael Crow, it's he wants to have the best of the best of the best. Well, if that is the case, why is it in athletics and in football and at the athletic department chair, the job is a stepping stone? Why is that? Why do coordinators come here and then when they leave, I'm told, well, they just had a chance at a better opportunity? Why is this not the best opportunity? If you aspire for greatness, don't you want to have it to where I don't want to leave Arizona State because it's such a great job, but I'm going to go to Auburn because? When you're the top quarterback recruit in the state, Ryan Kelly, and you stand across from Chip Lindsey, and he tells you, reaffirms to you on a Thursday, I am going to be here. And then on a Friday, he's gone to Auburn. What exactly happened? And that's how it was told to me from the mother. That's how it went down. So what exactly happened? And after a while, you know, I can tell you, it's great they got a guy from Alabama. Oh, this is so much fuss. You don't know. He could be here a year and he could be gone. Lane Kiffin could call him and say, hey, why don't you come down here? He's got lots of connections, lots of contacts. You know, Michigan could call and say, we're going to pay you $1 million a year. Michigan is paying three assistant coaches, $1 million a year. The first university to do that. So for ASU, it'd be nice if they had a staff where people said they don't want to leave because this is the place to be. Doesn't happen that way. Of course, National Letter of Intent Day is on Wednesday. We have lots of content up on the website at sports360az.com. Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports columnist, is next. our Monday conversation with Paula. I'm Brad Sussman.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussman.
Always good to catch up with Paula Bovin, News and Notes, every Monday. AZ Central columnist and prof at Cronkite. How are you?
I'm good, Brad. Thank you.
U of a number one seed, or Gonzaga, a number one seed over U of A, because Gonzaga beat U of A head-to-head, if we're looking ahead to March Madness. Where are you at here today at the end of January?
Well, one, I'm excited. Both are going to be in the mix at the end of the season, I think, because the potential of a Final Four presence, at least by one of those teams, is very cool. Gonzaga is interesting because it's hard to knock them down now. They, as you mentioned about U of A, but also the remaining part of their schedule because of their conference isn't as tough, right? So how do you judge them? The fact is they're going to win and they're going to keep winning. So I mean, I think Gonzaga is, in that regard, Gonzaga is in a great position right now.
They have St. Mary's next week. It's ranked in the top 25. Here's the thing, though, when people say, well, it's Gonzaga, and these are primarily U of A people, it's Gonzaga, and yeah, they beat us head-to-head, but they don't play anybody. I don't know, when you go through their schedule and you see who they have played, they beat Washington by 25. They played San Diego State, who's a bit down this year, but they still beat them. They haven't lost a game, and they played Florida. They beat them. I think there's more to this than just they're in a bad conference and they're a good team.
No, and I'm just mentioning that because I think for the skeptics, you're right. But the bottom line is they are undefeated. How can you argue the fact that they've won all their games? Teams have bad games and lose sometimes when they shouldn't. They haven't done that. They got that big win you're talking about with Arizona. I don't think you can mark them down because they're doing what they have to do, you know, and they've played some good teams. I agree with you. So I have no problem with them being a top seed if it ends up that way.
All right. Flip it over to on the ASU end of things. I went out yesterday and watched them play just a dreadful, poor they don't start well for Bobby Hurley. I don't know why that is. They allowed Washington State, who's not good, to shoot 60% from the floor in the second half. I don't care if it's club ball for fifth graders. You're not going to win anything when that happens. And yet, there was a good crowd, and I don't sense anybody that's down on Hurley. He just didn't have many players. They're at the halfway mark of his second season. All right, so a year and a half in, where are you at with Bobby Hurley?
I don't think people should question him. This is a tough program a tough place to win. I know people hate hearing that, but it's a tough place to win. And so he was in a situation where he's got to build up recruiting, and it's going to take some time. I am really interested to seeing them in next year because they're going to have some size. But right now, you know, they don't have any depth. They don't have the numbers. They don't have size. If you're going to succeed in the Pac-12 and Washington State, which is not a great team, but they have
some size. Yeah.
That made a difference. And, you know, I also think they're kind of missing a vocal leader. I'm not around that team that much, but I was listening to guys like Kyle Dodd talk in the broadcast yesterday. And while they have guys who lead by example and things like that, I think they'll benefit if they can get somebody next season or somebody transforms into this, a more vocal leader. I think they need that too. Hurley can do all the leading he wants, but at some point there's a place during a season when the players need to hear from other players, whether it's, you know, grab your teammate by the jersey, whether it's encouraging him, something like that. I think they need that. So I still believe in Hurley. I mean, I saw what he did at Buffalo. I know he was only there a short time, but he made a difference. Those Duke teams, I covered them. I'm a huge fan of what they did. It's just hard for me to believe that he won't be a good coach at this level. So I think fans got to give him some time.
News and Notes, Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist. National Letter of Intent Day is on Wednesday. We will hear an awful lot of couldn't believe he was there. It's what a great get. We got him over this school, this school, this school. And then a year or two later, we'll look back and say maybe 5 to 10 of these players actually pan out. Is that the fun part of it for you, is to kind of guess which ones are going to make it, and try to look at this without all the hyperbole, and that this isn't, you know, five-star this and five-star that? Or how do you approach letter of intent day?
Yeah, you know, early on in my writing career, I sort of got sucked into that five-star, four-star. And I think there is some value to that. I mean, you know, not immense, but there's some. I think with quarterbacks, I pay a little bit more attention to who they brought in, because you can kind of get a good sense of these guys in high school. But it is much more for me about, let's see how things play out, you know, down the road. And I'm still more fascinated with the ASU storyline of the changing in coaching staff and what kind of impact these guys will have versus some of the recruits, because I've had people tell me they've had horrible classes and they turned out well, and that they have had brilliant classes and they didn't turn out so well. So I've kind of put the mute button on when I start hearing some of this stuff.
How uncomfortable are you, if at all, with what's going on across our country with immigration and as it relates to sports? And in particular, you know Marie Tillman a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and Marie spoke out over the weekend about what's happening. We do stories. Eric's working on a piece on a basketball kid who came from Sudan. And I was thinking about that over the weekend, if this kid is going to be, you know, get out. Put this into context, if you could, of what you're seeing and how it relates to sports and Marie Tillman. I know it's a very broad brush question for you, but just this whole deal.
No, I'm very interested, very moved by some of the stories, you know, seeing images of people going down to airports and hanging out at the international terminals and applauding and praising people who are coming in from all different parts of the country, primarily from the Middle East, and offering their support. I have never been one who does not like, you know, stick to sports stuff. I don't like that. I love that Steve Nash took a stand. I love that Robert Sarver and the jerseys, the Los jerseys, Los Suns, I know that was an issue for people, you know, stick to sports. No, I mean, I think some of our most powerful voices from, you know, Mexico City and standing on an Olympic podium at a track meet and raising your fist to Nash talking about, you know, he's a citizen of the world. That, I like to hear athletes. I'm not particularly impressed that, you know, Michael Jordan sort of embraced the idea that, you know, he kept himself out of hot water because he didn't say much. And mm-hmm. Tiger Woods always tried to say the right thing because he had a lot of sponsors. I want to hear my athletes talking. So I love that Marie Tillman did that. Mo Farah, the runner up at Oregon, the Olympic runner, had a response to sort of what was happening with Trump and his future and how to explain to his kids, can he get back in the country, those kind of things. I want to hear it more. And I drives me crazy that we want our athletes to be so homogenized and not make comments. It's silly to me.
In terms of your teaching, so I'm going to bring this into the discussion as well, is because does Trump and his people have a point in that media has changed and it's really not media any longer? It's just a bunch of talking heads, and whoever wants to say something and whoever judges is judged by the number of followers they have on Twitter. Is it just that our industry has become so changed in such a short period of time that we need to weed out people that are nothing more than cheerleaders for one side or another? Do you see where I'm coming from on this?
I do. I mean, I think there is some of that. The landscape has changed, no question about it. People responding to quick hits and 140 characters and
right.
opinion and game stories and those kind of things. But it drives me crazy. It's the worst kind of stereotyping that he does. And I think, you know, the media says is this. The media lies. The media, no, a small faction of the media makes mistakes or is bad or bad people. The majority of media, I think, especially I believe in the newspaper industry, you know, are trained reporters to report fact. And so I know people get confused because you turn on TV and a station that used to be about reporting news is about sharing opinion, you know, and people
Correct.
Are kind of confusing that something.
Correct.
And I understand that, you know, but I hate the stereotype of the media is this. No, the media is doing the public a great service, and it's been so moving for me to see people, and even in the entertainment community, from George Clooney, you know, who's whose I think father was a member of the media for many years, mm-hmm. to Meryl Streep making a comment about supporting the media during the Oscars. It just it's great to see that happening, and so I hate the divisiveness of what's gone on recently.
There are those that would say, "Well, just stick to sports," and I would just say, "Then, well, why don't you just stick to being an accountant? Why don't you just stick to being an attorney? Why don't you just stick to being someone who flies an airplane or whatever it is?" We all have the right to say what we want to say. I guess I had read over the weekend that the Washington Post and the Washington Times subscriptions are skyrocketing right now, that because of what has gone on here in the last week in our country, that people are wanting to become more informed or re-informed. I don't know if that's going on with your paper. I don't know that. I just think it's a really interesting time because on the sports end of things, yeah, it's Super Bowl week. I really don't see much intrigue in it. It's fine. The Open mm-hmm. has more interesting storylines to me. When I see a major network putting Dodgeball on the air with Patrick Peterson against T.Y. Hilton and John Gruden is doing the color with Sean McDonough, it just tells me all I need to know that we become an infomercial for the NFL. And, you know, there's more important things than trying to hype up a football game and sell chicken wings this week.
As a tough time it is in this country with people believing different things, Brad, it's so moving to me to see people rise to want to be, you know, involved, whether it's marching, whether it's going on Facebook and posting that you agree with Donald Trump. At least people are passionate, and I know that's led to some ugliness on both sides, I think it's great that they're almost like citizen journalists, you know, that people want to get involved. And that's an exciting time.
Before you get out of here, what are you working on at the Open this week?
I'm heading out there. I'm going to be out there Thursday and Saturday. So I think Thursday I'm going to, I'm just going to feel out what the storyline is. I think the Jon Rahm story is great.
Yep.
I mean, to come into, I think he turned pro in June, and to come in on the heels of winning your first tournament, it's a really fun story. So I'm looking. I know there's some of the bigger names aren't here, but a lot of other ones are, and I think it's going to be a great tournament with nice weather, which you know how that goes.
yeah, right about that. Stay well. Thanks for the time as always.
Okay, Brad. Thanks.
Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, so before we get out of here for today, the Suns have a home game tonight. They have a Monday night game against Memphis. Suns are doing exactly what they need to do, what they should do, what they ought to do from here forward. We're coming up on the 1st of February. Guys, you're not going to go, what would it be, like 20 and 10? It's not happening, okay? So just accept the fact that this will be another year that we're still distancing ourselves from May 30th, 2010, the day of the last playoff game for the Suns. It's fine to distance yourself. It's fine. We're coming up on 7 years. You can do this. You can do this. Keep losing. They have Memphis tonight. They found ways to lose over the weekend to Denver, which was good. Great, actually. They have the Clippers at home. They'll lose that game. They have Sacramento on the road on Friday. They should lose that game. They have Milwaukee here on Saturday. I think they can dig deep and find a way to lose that game. There's no reason to keep trying to win games. They're actually, in a lot of ways, they're doing it the right way. They're playing hard. The games are close for the most part, and they lose. It's great because it gives people a sense of they're making progress here. They're continuing to lose, which is good for business. Because obviously with Robert doubling his investment by losing, it's just continuing. The money's flowing in. So the only thing that's missing here is winning. Novel concept. So money's going to keep flowing in if you lose. So if you win with a roster that's, what I see, Brandon Knight was like a minus 37 the other night. I saw that on Twitter. After the Denver, did you see that?
That's hard to do.
It was like
pretty
just
difficult to do.
Awful.
And another plus for Sarver, people are going to the games. Like the game I went to a couple weeks ago against the Jazz.
Are there people there?
They had a good crowd. Yeah.
Yeah. How many of them paid?
Pleasantly surprised. They had a good crowd.
That's fine. It's fine.
I hate when you make a better point than I do.
You know, the Dwayne Wade stuff.
Buy one, get three free.
That's it. The Carmelo and Dwayne Wade stuff, I can't tell if it's just insiders that need clicks on their Twitter feeds to show bosses that they're deserving of their salary, or if there's really something there. If it's just, it's mid-season and we got to drum up interest, so let's throw another Carmelo story or another Dwayne Wade story out there, and people will bite on it hook, line, and sinker. It's just ways to get through the drudgery of late November, or late January, rather. As great as the college season has been, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's been a great NBA season to watch. There have been some terrific individuals. I like watching Houston and James Harden as a team, and James Harden, I like watching them because it's Mike D'Antoni style. I like that.
I know this has been rumored, Brad, in baseball for quite some time, at least from the outsiders who would like to see this happen in terms of shortening the season.
Yep.
But because the NBA season is becoming somewhat drab.
Somewhat.
And because the NHL season has become somewhat drab.
Somewhat.
Do you believe that we will ever see a day where we will not see an 82-game regular NBA season, 161-game regular
I think the baseball season is going to go from 162 to 154.
That's not enough. That's really not any.
We shaved 8 games.
That's like going to McDonald's and say, "Hey, you know what? I'm really watching my figure. I used to get the 32-ounce drink, and now I'm getting the 28-ounce drink." Like what?
Oh gosh.
It's helping, I guess.
The Dwayne Wade thing is interesting because that just seems like a dumpster fire. Here's a guy who's 35, and the young players are asking him to practice more. And he says, I'm not going to practice more. I'm 35. And so a franchise that had it figured out, like they had this cool little nucleus of Noah and Rose, and Jimmy Butler was over there doing his thing. And now you look at them and they're just like, wow, you guys, Taj Gibson jumps high and throws the ball down hard. So what? Lots of guys can dunk. Can he play at both ends of the floor? Nice player. Wouldn't say anything that I would have as my franchise guy. But that story is interesting to me. If Carmelo gets traded and there's a third team that needs to be involved, I saw where Espo wrote something on the site about Bledsoe and how great of a player is Bledsoe, question mark. Well, this is no offense to Greg. I love having Greg write on the site, but nobody is going to dispute that Bledsoe is a good player. Nobody, if you're watching him play, there's no dispute on that. The problem is he's in the Western Conference, so there's plenty of players that are better than him at his position. You could make the argument that Bledsoe is, you know, his name's Eric Bledsoe. Bledsoe, to me, is a good player. That's why you trade him now. He's not going to be here in 2 years. Like, it's fine. Read what Greg wrote. And if I'm wrong on it, fine. Call me out. It's fine. There's some fresh recruiting news up on the website right now that you can check out. The letter of intent day, a couple days away. You can see it all on for free, by the way, at sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We have our television show, too. It's Fox Sports Arizona's Brad Sussmat Football AZ. It airs Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, something like 18 airings, and it's a lot of fun. A lot of different ways we go with that show. We'll shoot some of it today, show it tomorrow, and then you can check it out over on Fox Sports Arizona. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He did not screw up today. Eric Sorensen is our senior executive vice president of Everything or Nothing. He did not screw up today. I am Brad Sussmat. I never screw up, except most days, if you listen closely. Thanks for being with us.